Expressions of anti-Semitic sentiments in Georgia have more than doubled since 2015. That's according to the Georgia Anti-Defamation League, an advocacy group that fights discrimination against Jews. Allison Padilla-Goodman oversees the ADL's Southeast region. Good morning, Allison.
Good morning, Adam. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for being here. 58 anti-Semitic incidents in Georgia in 2017, according to your organization's reckoning. What's a typical one of these incidents? What's one that's a lot like all the others?
Our audit of anti-Semitic incidents tracks vandalism, harassment, and assaults, and we definitely see a lot more harassment and vandalism than assaults, thankfully. So it could be a swastika drawn on a synagogue, or Jews being harassed walking down the street with their yarmulkes on, anti-Semitic bullying in schools. There's quite a gamut.
And are you going off of police reports, or are these things that victims are reporting directly to the ADL?
These are mostly things that victims are reporting directly to the ADL.
Okay. So according to the ADL's numbers, in 2015, there were 16 anti-Semitic incidents in Georgia. 2016, the following year, jumps to 43. And then last year, the last year for which you have data, 2017, 58 anti-Semitic incidents in Georgia. That's a tremendous increase, more than doubling over the last couple of years. What is going on here?
Yeah, it's a national trend. Nationally, we saw a 57% increase in anti-Semitic incidents from last year to this. It's very concerning, and we're looking into the reasons for why. We do not think more people are anti-Semitic, and that is key. Every year, we do a survey of anti-Semitic attitudes, and that survey shows year after year that it's about 10 to 12% of the U.S. holds anti-Semitic attitudes. What we're seeing now is, first of all, people are reporting more because they're more concerned about anti-Semitism, but reporting doesn't account for 60% increase. We are seeing hate groups emboldened. We are seeing them come out in public in ways that we've never seen before. We're seeing people struggle with the divisive rhetoric that they're seeing on television through politics and the news. And then we're seeing young people really struggle in K-12 schools. That's where the largest increase happened. We had 94% increase in anti-Semitic incidents in schools, which is a very disturbing trend.
Yeah. What are the age of the kids who are being harassed in schools typically?
Kindergarten to 12th grade is where we're seeing it the most. We're seeing an enormous amount of bullying and bigotry in schools in general, but we're seeing a huge spike in anti-Semitic incidents in schools, both here in Georgia and on a national scale. We're also seeing anti-Semitism increase on college campuses more than we've seen in the past. Extremist groups are actually recruiting and flyering on college campuses. Sometimes they are hosting rallies and speaking engagements on college campuses. And so these types of sentiment and attitudes are something that all students are really struggling with.
So when you receive a report of an anti-Semitic incident in a school, do you then take that to the school administration and make them aware of what's happened?
Absolutely. For the most part, we have a very robust education initiative. We work in over 250 schools in the region through a program called No Place for Hate, where we get schools to increase their dialogue around diversity and identity. And part of this program is to build relationships with schools so that they actually come to us also when things happen. So yeah. We have high demand for our anti-bias trainings, working with schools to help them address incidents when they happen, as well as to proactively build a school culture to prevent these types of things from happening more.
We're talking about a almost threefold increase in anti-Semitic incidents in Georgia since 2015, at least as tallied by the Anti-Defamation League. And we're speaking with the ADL's Allison Padilla-Goodman. Also joining us now is Steve Becton. He's Program Director for Equity and Inclusion with the group Facing History and Ourselves. It's a nonprofit that helps create a safe and inclusive school environment through education. Welcome to the program, Steve.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
How are educators supposed to handle an anti-Semitic incident in a classroom? What's the best practice?
Well, first and foremost, we have to create social and emotional safe learning environments to have the conversations. That's the first thing we have to do, and that is educators have to be intentional about creating classrooms where these kind of very volatile and difficult things could be discussed, where multiple perspectives can come forth, and kids could sort of courageously have the conversation. So that would be the first step. And then the next thing I would say, facing history, that we think is huge and important is that we ground these conversations in context. Anti-Semitism and other forms of bigotry, they have a sort of a historical narrative. And as much as we can help students understand the context of what's happening today, they can see how these patterns of discrimination and oppression and bigotry have happened over time and get a little more sophisticated about how dangerous this is.
Yeah. Let me share you a really quick story from my childhood. I have a really, really potent memory of in elementary school, we had a day on discrimination, a day. And that was the first day I'd ever heard of anti-Semitism. I was the first day I ever heard that there was a thing that people don't like Jews. And I think I was not the only kid in class for whom that was a revelation. And I remember that afternoon, the one Jewish kid in our school getting taunted after the idea of anti-Semitism had been introduced to the students by their teachers, which was obviously not the goal of the teachers. And I've always sort of had a lot of questions in my head about that. But Allison, I suppose that's not something that happens too much anymore with a lot of these things coming out into the open, that a lot of kids are coming to school really having been taught about this stuff one way or another before they even get to school. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing it on the news almost nightly. It's been a particularly troubling week watching Farrakhan on the extreme left and Putin on the extreme right, our president using terms like globalist. Anti-Semitism is something that's becoming a little bit too normal on the nightly news.
Could you unpack that for what makes you think that globalist is a anti-Semitic code word?
Sure. So globalist has been used for a very long time from extremist groups. White supremacists have adopted it to describe Jews, describing them as being more loyal to another country than their own. Yeah. And the alt-right has been using it particularly in particular rigor these days. As students see this and, you know, they're trying to kind of understand how to interact with the world. I will say students on the other side are doing really amazing things. So the students participating in our programs, they're talking about identity and bias in ways that stun one, that keep us excited and motivated. I mean, we see these students from Parkland talking about gun control and taking action. I think on the same side, while we're seeing a lot of anti-Semitism in schools, we're also seeing students kind of rise up and come together and take a stand and speak up for one another in ways that we haven't before.
Steve, I imagine you've seen this incident of a middle school teacher in Florida who has fessed up to the fact that she was hosting a white nationalist podcast where there was a lot of anti-Semitic stuff being uttered, among other anti things. She has since said that her podcast was satire. That's an explanation that I think strains credibility. She has been put on leave, I believe, or possibly fired. The school is acting, but only after the media, I think it was the Huffington Post, broke the story that you had this middle school teacher who had this side hustle of hosting this racist podcast. How do you think the school is supposed to handle a situation like that? She talked on her podcast about how she was essentially undercover at her school, that she had lied to people about her true feelings about things so that she could sneak white supremacist ideology into the classroom. How are you supposed to handle a person like that if you're a school administrator, Strader Steve?
Well, I do know about that incident. I think the bigger issue, well, I don't know all the details of that incident, but I will say this. I think the number one sort of issue for school administrators is to protect students. I hope that's an extreme example. I hope most of our teachers are not a critical mass of our teachers are undercover, you know, hosting hate sites. So on a daily basis, though, I think administrators really do have to be intentional and vigilant about protecting vulnerable students in schools, protecting students who have been historically marginalized, whether it be around race or religion or their sexual identity. So it's about, I think administrators today have to be vigilant about building a school culture and climate that responds to bigotry, but it discourages bigotry every day by having intentional conversations, by having intentional places in the curriculum where students are taking deep dives into moments in history. That's what we do at Facing History. We provide these case studies, for example, for kids to study the rise of the Nazis in Germany so that they could see patterns of oppression and bigotry and be able to notice them when they happen today. So administrators are to create this school culture that just discourages this kind of behavior on a daily basis.
That's Steve Becton of the group Facing History on Ourselves. We also spoke with Allison Padilla Goodman of the Anti-Defamation League of Georgia, which finds a almost threefold increase in anti-Semitic incidents in Georgia over the last couple of years. It's on Second Thought.